Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
But now turning our attention to something a little bit different. Rabbi Kuti is a trailblazer in reimagining Jewish ritual for the next generation. Known to many as Rav Chadash, she facilitates intimate, transformative spaces for mothers and daughters to explore Jewish identity through a contemporary lens. She's based in Cape Town, and she leads creative Rosh Chodesh circles and preteen bat mitzvah groups that are as much about connection and meaning as they are about tradition. Rabbi Andrea Kuti, thank you so much for joining us on the line, and I'm very excited to chat with you. I did look at the menu of what you offer, and it's so beautifully presented, and it sounds so interesting. And I thought perhaps to start with your own personal journey, which is very unique. What led you to become a rabbi, and how did you come to focus on mother-daughter Rosh Chodesh groups?
Wow. First of all, thank you so much for inviting me here. And what made me to become a rabbi is a long story, maybe another time.
Okay. Can you just give us like maybe the end of the story?
The end of the story is that, well, let me connect to the very beginning, that my parents are, as you were mentioning, the second, third generation Holocaust survivors. My parents were children during the Holocaust, and I grew up in Hungary. And in Hungary, they, at the time, like four decades after the Holocaust, they still didn't know how to talk about Judaism to me. And they felt it was easier not to talk about it at all. In fact, they wouldn't tell me I was Jewish. And then fast forward, me finding out that I was Jewish indeed, and trying to find a way to talk about it. And then just feeling so no help, no support, no nothing good about it, because nothing was around me that was supporting it. Eventually, I was like, okay, I just need to drop this. Like, you know, like as if you could. Just like, I don't want to do anything with this. And please, like, this is a burden. This is trauma. I don't need this. And then I just felt like I need, actually, before I do such a big thing, it was generations and generations before me, was in my family. Maybe there was something that my ancestors knew about that didn't make it to me. And so I decided to go and study. I gave myself a year, and I gave Judaism a year. Like, I go to Israel, to yeshiva, I study, and let me know if this is worth it. And I came back with convinced that I do want this in my life. But then also as a woman, it was really a difficult journey to follow, because there weren't places. That yeshiva was a co-ed yeshiva, but going back to Hungary, there was no other place for me to continue studying. I just wanted to be a normal Jew to study. But then that something, that little that I got it in that 1 year, my friends who were human rights activists, women rights activists, they came like, let's do this Jewish thing in a way that we can be participants in here, and in an equal rights way. And we started to dig out things and explore ways of doing rituals together. Anyway, so fast forward, it really determined my life stories, different points, like being Jewish and being a woman was very, very significant. There's a rabbinical school in Hungary, in Budapest, but only for men, and in many places that I just really had to seek out where there were things for women, and it became my path as Judaism, where it's possible for women to trailblaze forward, and so it led me to rabbinical.
And now you live in Cape Town, and that's probably an interview for another time. But I did want to focus on these mother-daughter Rosh Chodesh groups that you run. For someone who's never heard of it, what is a Rosh Chodesh group?
The Rosh Chodesh groups are new moon groups of, for women, and connecting to the new moon time-wise. Like, it's always around the new moon. And it's interesting because in my past, for the last 25 years, at least, I've been always part of a Rosh Chodesh group, starting in Jerusalem and then going to London and Philadelphia and New York and now in Cape Town. I've been always part of, but it's been always different kinds of Rosh Chodesh group, different denominations, mixed denominations, different styles of the meetings were run differently, but it's always women gathering.
And
And it's a
what typically would
yeah.
happen in one of those gatherings?
It's always somehow acknowledges the women's like as a women's space. There's sometimes learning, sometimes dancing. It depends how familiar and comfortable people are, but there's always sharing and deep connections. And it is connected to the red tent, and the red tent being the space where women in ancient cultures and in Jewish culture, you also have that tradition long time ago that when women had their periods, they would not be part of the everyday life. They would go, some cultures still have it, and they would go into this hut and or into this secluded space. But the thing is that instead of looking at it as like, okay, now I can't be part of this, this is reclaimed as a place and as a time when women can be together and not having to do the work, and they can really connect. And
I mean, the idea of creating a shared space for girls and their mothers to explore both Jewish and gender identity is so beautiful. How do you find the girls in Cape Town who participate respond, especially in this age of TikTok and social media?
Yeah. How do I find them? I was surprised. So this is still kind of at the beginning, so I don't have exactly a lot of experience. We just launched our first one, but I was so surprised how the girls responded. They really loved it. There is TikTok and all of that, but they are like so clued up about it. But at the same time, some of the questions about beauty and about peer pressure are still really, really big questions for them. So what I'm finding very interesting and important is that we bring in the mothers into the conversation, because so often and so much of our culture is about separation from the beginning of school, and it just keeps on. And as soon as they get the phones, and as soon as like they go to school and camp and phones, and there's so little of shared spaces, of intergenerational shared spaces. So this is very countercultural that we do things together, and like even lighting candles, like suddenly like we light candles together, we bring in the maternal lineage ancestry, and the girls just like, it's new, it's not part of what they do with the TikTok and all of these other interactions. So they are being brought into real life in some ways, and it's grounding to be around the mothers, and then we give space to be just by themselves as well, but then there's shared experience that they can talk about afterwards.
How does what you do differ from more traditional or orthodox settings?
In one way it doesn't, because in Orthodox settings, women's spaces are common, like either they're on one side of the mechitza or in socializing, it's way more common to have women's spaces, dedicated women's spaces. What really is different is that in the progressive and egalitarian spaces, this is not common. And there's no space for women and girls to really process what it means to be a woman and a girl in our society. And as much as we try to say we are all equal, we are still women and girls, and if we don't have a space, and we have menstruation and menopause and all sorts of things happening to our bodies, as well as like how do we, like socially and in social media and peer pressure, and all of those things have their own ways in our society. So this is the place where we can process as opposed to, and support one another, as opposed to in the egalitarian, like the mixed spaces, which ultimately, ideally, I am hoping that once everyone has found their voices and their powers and their support, and we can have mixed groups. but it's really missing at this age, especially where we can process and support one another.
I'm very touched by what you say, where the women, especially the girls, bring the topics of peer pressure and body awareness and social media. It really seems like it's making age-old rituals feel deeply relevant today. And what you've been talking about, I think, is something that is desperately needed. I would have loved a space when I was growing up where I could address those issues with my mom under the guidance of a rabbi. Rabbi Andrea Kuti, thank you so much for chatting with us. And for anyone who wants to know more about these circles, how do they get hold of you?
Probably best is through my website, Rav Chadash, Chadash, RavChadash.com.
Perfect.
And
thank you so much for your time. So that's Rabbi Andrea Kuti, a trailblazer in reimagining Jewish ritual for the next generation, joining us on the line from Cape Town.